Beginning with verse 3, the Lord tells us, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be destroyed, and we might no longer be enslaved to sin. For whosoever has died is free from sin. But if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. The death he died to sin, once for all, but the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin exercise dominion in your mortal body to make you obey their passions. No longer present your members to sin as instruments of wickedness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and present your members to God as instruments of righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace." This is God's gospel and his word for us all. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for your word. We thank you that it's sharper than any two-edged sword, Lord. Help it to pierce us today and every day, Lord, that we may be more like you, more set apart, more holy before you, Lord, that we may truly live as resurrected people, Lord, not in dead and trespasses and sin, not as slaves to sin, but Lord, as free, risen people, glorifying you, knowing that death has no sting and we have victory in you. Thank you so much, Heavenly Father. Give me the words to preach this morning. Give us all, as you bid us in Revelation, if we got ears to hear, Lord, let us hear your word every day. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. This glorious day, we call it Easter, or Resurrection Day. We remember when Jesus rose again on the third day after he reached out his arms on Calvary and died for us. He was wounded for our transgressions, and by his stripes we're healed, Isaiah tells us, as he prophesied. He reached out his arms, he died for us. I can't imagine a more gruesome death, because there's not one, than on the cross that he himself bore our own transgressions. If we'll remember there on the cross, there was two people hung next to him, one on the right, one on the left. One railed against him and said, "If you're truly the Messiah, come on down from that cross and save us all. If you're truly what you are." The other rebuked the other thief, the other one condemned, and turned to Jesus and said, "When you remember me, when you enter in your kingdom." Jesus told him, because he put his faith in him, because he trusted him, because he loved Jesus, he said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." And praise God, he was. We'll see that. We'll meet that old thief on the cross someday in the New Jerusalem when we're all on God's reunion. Why is that? Because he chose to follow Jesus. Even there dying, he chose to follow the Lord. It shows there. Back then, there's two paths to take. And just on this very day, present day, almost 2,000 years later, there's that same exact choice we get to make every moment of every day. Which one of those are you right now? Which one of those are you going to be tomorrow? You're going to be the one that rails against God? Oh, you don't have to do it with your lips. Jesus told the Pharisees, "These people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." Giving lip service to the Lord. It happened with the children of Israel. It happened in Jesus' day, and it happens today. Are we going to be which one? A thief on the right or the left? Are we going to be the one that calls upon Jesus and loves him? "Lord, remember me." Or we're going to be the one railing against him by our lives. So what is it? In verse 1 of chapter 6, we have this decision to make. He's talking about dying and rising with Christ in chapter 6 of Romans, as we just read. What then are we to say? Should we continue in sin in order that grace may abound? What was it that nailed Jesus to the cross? What was it that put him up there? It was sin. It was the deeds of evil in this world. It was the very sin. The Bible tells us that very sin itself was condemned on the cross of Christ on our behalf. So that in verse 1 of chapter 5, it can be true. "Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's through putting our trust in Him, just as that thief on the cross did. We put our trust in Him. We follow Him. Lord, help us to do that. In verse 12 of chapter 5, it says, "Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man," that's Adam, as we remember back in Genesis, "and death came through sin. The wages of sin is death," the Bible tells us, "but eternal life is the gift of God through Jesus Christ. Just as one man, sin came with one man, death came through sin, and so death spread to all, because all have sinned." Everybody, mark it down, everybody deserves hell, but Jesus saves us when we put our faith in Him. Verse 13, "Sin was indeed in the world before the law, but sin is not reckoned when there is no law." He says there in verse 15, "But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died through the one man's trespass, much more surely have the grace of God and the free gift in the grace of one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many." Just as sin came through one man, sin is done away with through one, Jesus Christ, God's only Son. So what should we just say? What are we going to do about it? Should we continue in sin in order that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin go on living in it? We got the choice to make, just like those thieves did back then. What are we going to do about it today with what Jesus did for us? And He didn't just die for our sins. He didn't just die to save us from the fiery pits of hell. He died to create a new creation in us. The Bible tells us that we're a new creation. We're in Jesus Christ. The older passed away. God's recreating this world. And He's starting with Jesus Christ raising Him from the dead. And He's starting with us. One of these days, He'll start with the entire world. We're beginning the new creation. Have you been made new in Jesus Christ? As He says here in verse 3, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death?" He says we're baptized into His death. That comes first. You got to die to yourself first. You got to lay your own self aside and pick up Jesus Christ's ways. "Therefore, we have been buried with Him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life." We ourselves, our old selves, our wicked selves, before we regenerated, our wickedness died on the cross with Jesus when we put our faith in Him. It is done away with, and we're risen to walk as new creation, as new people. We live as risen people, as Paul tells us in Corinthians. "Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory?" If we all passed away tonight, where are we going? If you're saved, you're going on to glory land. You're going on to be with Jesus for all eternity. Death for a child of God, for someone that's saved by the grace of God. What is it? It's just a doorway. It's just like going in this door to another. It's just like going out of this door to outside. It's just passing through to a different era of life. But for those who are not in God's grace, who refuse to follow Him, just that thief, that's that place that was prepared for the devil and his angels, where they will abide in the place called hell. That's not where God wants you. He wants to make all people new. He wants to create new creation in all of us. He wants to make you new. He wants to redeem us all every day. He says here, "Therefore we have been buried with Him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life." We can walk in the newness of life. We look out here and seeing the trees bud and the flowers blooming. It reminds us, the wintertime, that dead where it looks like everything's dead, it's starting to bud and be new and be glorious and be beautiful. So too God does in our lives. "For if we have been united with Him in a death like His, we will certainly be united with Him in a resurrection like His." We'll be united with Jesus no matter what. "We know that our old self was crucified with Him so that the body of sin might be destroyed." Christ's goal was to destroy sin. He didn't just die to save us from hell. He died to save us from sin. He died to create a new being within us, to save us and redeem us, so that the body of sin might be destroyed and we might no longer be enslaved to sin. So many of God's children, the sad thing is, are still living as slaves to sin. They're still wrapping themselves in chains. It's like if I'm chained up, bound by chains, and someone unlocks it and I refuse to stop being bound. It's the same thing. God's children are set free. He set us free. He unlocked us. If we're in a prison door and they open the door, we can turn our backs to the gateway and say, "I ain't leaving," or we can walk out of the prison cell. Are you enslaved to sin this morning? Is there sin having dominion in your body? Jesus died to set you free. Jesus died on the cross of Calvary to do away with all sin. He condemned sin itself on the cross that we might no longer be enslaved to sin. We can walk in newness. We can be His children. We can have fellowship with Him. There's a great chasm between us and the Lord, and He crossed it. He made a bridge across it with the cross. We know that our old self was crucified with Him so that the body of sin might be destroyed, and we may no longer be enslaved to sin. And verse 7, he tells us, "For whoever has died is freed from sin. But if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with Him." Not only does sin die, but He gives us new life. It wasn't just Him taking our sin away and we're just kind of standing there justified before God, but He gives us His Holy Spirit. He gives us His righteousness that we can walk with Him and talk with Him and live for Him. What is the first thing that God wants for every child of God? He just wants us to be faithful to Him. He wants us to be sanctified. God's will for you is to be set apart for Him. But he says here, "But if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with Him." We'll have fellowship with Him. We call Him Heavenly Father. You know, in other religions in the ancient world, even in Judaism, and the Pharisees and Sadducees, when they talk about when Jesus called God Father, that startled them. They're not used to calling God Father. They're used to some distant God that doesn't talk to them, that they don't know. As with the pagans, they're not used to a God that loves them because theirs doesn't exist. But ours, we have Heavenly Father, the one true God that created heaven and earth, the one that created, knit together the heavens. You know, they keep studying space and they can't stop studying it because there's more of it made because it's so vast and advanced. You know, we can't even study the ocean floor. It's so vast and advanced. And that's on our own planet. But the God that created all these things, it's nothing to Him. He's just a tiny little speck. But yet He cares about to come down on earth and to die for us. Die for me, die for you, so that we may have fellowship with Him. We may be redeemed. We're His children. We're born again in the family of God. We're adopted into God's family. Praise God for what He's done for us. We have fellowship with Him. Don't squander that fellowship. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. He died once and for all. If you'll notice there, in the book of Acts, first part of it, it says that He rose again. He ascended into heaven, as we got a stained glass window of it back there. That's beautiful. He ascended up into heaven. Well, if you look, He ascended in His physical body. Up there in heaven right now, if you look at Jesus' hands, you'll see a hole. If you look at His head, you can tell where that crown of thorns was. He died once and for all, and He rose again up into heaven. He says here, "We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. He died once and for all." Hebrews tells us the blood of bullocks and lambs, it could never, ever take away sin. If you look at what Jesus was called, He's called the Lamb of God. What is that from? It's from, as we read in Exodus, the Passover lamb. They put the blood over the door and the Spirit passed over them. Praise God. God's wrath passes over us. We don't stand condemned. We stand alive in Jesus Christ. We stand redeemed with Jesus Christ. Praise God for that. We don't stand in condemnation anymore. We don't stand guilty anymore. In chapter 8, verse 1, he says here, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." Because of what He did for us, we don't stand condemned, but we stand as His children. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over Him. He conquered death. The death He died to sin once for all. Because what is the wage of sin? It's death. Jesus paid our debt for us. He paid the debt of sin for the entire world. "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." That's what John the Baptist told Him when he saw Him. We will never die again. He says here, "The death He died to sin once for all. But the life He lives to God." Jesus not only died for us, but He rose again for us. He says here, "So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus." Dead to sin, done for. Lord, help us to do that. That's a process every day, isn't it? Is sin having dominion over you? Is sin ruling over your heart and your mind? God says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets, everything. Love God first and love your neighbor as yourself. Problem is, Jesus said there's a straight and narrow way. Problem is, we start weaving like a little snake slithering down the road. We're weaving in and out of the straight and narrow way when we need to be on the straight path to Jesus. The Bible tells us that if you look back, you're not worthy to be called his child. If you're looking back from the plow. What happens if you're not looking ahead when you're plowing? It's going to be just like that snake's been drawing it. Brothers and sisters, we got to stay on his way. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God, just as we ought to live our lives to God. So you all must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God. Not on your own, it says, in Christ Jesus. Are you considering yourself dead to sin? Or is sin reigning over you? Ask yourself that. The only person to answer that's you and the Lord. So you must also consider yourself dead to sin. Dead to it. Gone. Lord, help us. And alive to God in Christ Jesus. Alive to him. So he tells us in verse 12, therefore, do not let sin exercise dominion in your mortal body. Do you know what the Bible tells us? He reminds us of old Joseph. When he was given the occasion to sin, the Bible tells us God will always provide a way out of sin. The problem is we don't take it so often. Because Jesus died on the cross to free us from sin, to free us from the enslavement, God promises in his word that if we're tempted to sin by the devil, by the angels, or our own wicked lust, as James tells us, then we will always have a pathway out of it. Just as Joseph in the Old Testament, when he's Potiphar's wife was tempting him to sin, what did he do? He ran right out of that house. Ran out of his robe even, but he ran right out of that house. God will always give us a path away from sin. We have to be careful what we see, what we listen to, careful what we fill our minds with. The devil's seeking to devour us like a roaring lion, but Jesus conquered him when he conquered death, hell, and the grave, so we can be more than conquerors through Christ Jesus who died for us. Are you conquering? Are you living for him? Have you got victory in your life? Jesus came to bring us victory, a living victory. Therefore, he's saying, because of this, because of what Jesus has done on the cross and rising again, where he took our sins and died and rose again, consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, what are we going to do about it? Do not let sin exercise dominion in your mortal bodies. It's not a one-time deal. He says, don't let sin exercise dominion ever. Tomorrow, the day after, it's a process every day. We have to be careful. Every day, waking up, serving the Lord. I love the Be Thou My Vision hymn. It says, waking or sleeping, thy presence, my light. Wait, no matter if you're awake or you're asleep, we need to have God's presence as our light, not dwelling in the darkness of the world, because God set us free. We can live as free people. Do not let sin exercise dominion in your mortal bodies. As John tells us, little children, keep yourself from idols. There's idols all over the place. It's not like if you go into China and you see them gold statues that they're laying flowers at or wherever in the world. It's a lot different. A lot of times the idols are things in the world. They're ideals. They're the lust of the flesh. Or we could just start making a list and go here to the road out there, writing them down, the idols in this world. If it's between you and the Lord, it's an idol. If it's against God's word and you're worshiping, it's an idol. As we just prayed, search me, O God, out of the Psalms, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way, as King James says. The Common English Bible says, any idolatrous way. Is there an idolatrous way in our lives that needs thrown out by the blood of Jesus, thrown out, that we can have victory? God wants to give you victory. Just as he gave that thief on the cross victory. He may have been hanging there dying, but he received victory that day. We may be on our last breath, but we can receive victory every moment of every day. He says here, don't let your sin exercise dominion in your mortal bodies. Don't let it exercise for you. To make you obey his passions. You know, the devil's got a plan. He wants you to ignore the cross, to ignore Christ's resurrection. He wants you to follow his plan for your life. And his plan for your life ends in a place called hell, where he's a-going. Oh, but praise God, Jesus has a plan for your life. He says, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. I know the thoughts, as some translation says, of peace and joy, to give you an expedient end. God's got a plan for your life. Sometimes it's not always sunshine and roses, but it's always there. God works all things for the good of those who loved us. When the devil causes evil in your life, God will turn it around and turn it for good. You can trust him every day and trust his path and follow him. Therefore, Do not let sin exercise dominion. If you're dead to sin, just as Christ died for us, and if we're risen to walk in newness of life, then we need to not let sin exercise dominion in our mortal bodies. We need to truly live as a resurrection people every day. Do not let it. Don't let it. It's our choice. It's not my choice for you or someone else's choice for somebody else. It's a personal decision every day. We're going to live as a resurrection person. Think of old Lazarus, someone that did physically die and rose again from the dead. What a story he has to tell to people walking around there. But we have the same story to tell spiritually, where we too were dead in trespass and sin on the way to hell, and he redeemed us and set us free that we may be risen. We're risen again from the wages of sin. We're risen again to walk with him. We're risen by his love. He says here, by his blood, by his resurrection, we too are raised. It was the pivoting point of all creation when Jesus died and rose again. The most important 3 days ever was. Thank you, Father. He says here, don't let sin exercise dominion. Don't let it control you, but let's let God. He says here, to make you obey their passions, the passions of the sin, the lust of the flesh. The Bible says, don't let any man say, don't let any person say that if they're tempted to God. God will never tempt you. God doesn't want you to sin. His will is for you to be holy. The devil will. A lot of times the devil don't even have to lift a finger because people goes running to sin. As Jesus says, a dog returns to its vomit. So often people return to their sin. Lord, help us. That's not God's will. God's given us the Holy Spirit. He's given us Christ's death and resurrection to not have sin reigning, not having dominion to make us obey its passions, but that we may live as free people. Who the Son set free is free indeed. Have you got that freedom? Freedom is not to do what you want. A lot of times we hear freedom in this great, we're in this wonderful nation, the United States. A lot of times we hear freedom, we think of freedom just means you can do whatever on earth you want. No, it's where you're not bound anymore. You're not bound. People that's living in sin, it's not freedom to do as you please. You're following, you're chained by the ways of sin. You're chained by it and you can't control yourself. Well, Jesus sets us free. Don't let it have dominion. Live in his freedom. In verse 13, no longer present your members to sin as instruments. I enjoyed playing the band in high school. I played the saxophone in the marching band, and we play organ and piano. You know, we play different instruments. That saxophone or that piano or organ, it's not going to sit there and start playing music itself. It's not going to just start making music on its own. It's just ain't never going to happen. You can have a player piano to play, but that's because someone designed it that way. Our bodies are instruments. Our lives are very instruments, he says here. No longer present your members to sin as instruments of wickedness. We got a piano over here. We can play beautiful hymns to Heavenly Father as we sing. Or we can play wicked music of the world on a piano. Just as our bodies can be used to glorify God and live as resurrected people. Or it can be an instrument of sin, an instrument, a tool of the devil. We want to be used by God. We want to have fellowship with God. What does sin do? It destroys us. It eats it away. Just as if I cut my hand and I never wash it out, it'll rot and fester away. I won't have a hand after a while. It'll get infected. I'll neither have a life either. So too, if we allow sin to have dominion in our lives, if we present our members as instruments of sin, it's going to waste away until it's in a place called hell. That's not what God wants for us. He wants us to be renewed. He tells us the Word of God can renew our minds. Sanctify them by thy truth. Thy Word is truth. No longer present your members to sin as instruments of wickedness. We have a choice now because of what Jesus did on the cross and rising again. We have the choice to make. Are we going to follow him or reject him? Are we going to present our lives and bodies as instruments of his righteousness? Or are we going to live in wickedness and sin? Lord, help us to choose righteousness. No longer present your members to sin. Presenting your bodies is sin. He wants us to have a be living sacrifice, as the Bible tells us. That's what we need to present ourselves to God for. And when we present ourselves to him, just as old Daniel did, he purposed in his heart he would not defile himself with the king's idolatrous meals, nor with the wine of the alcohol and a sacrifice to idols. He said, I'm not going to do it, but I'm going to present myself. I'm going to purpose in my heart to serve the Lord. Help us to do that very same thing. No longer present your members to sin as instruments of wickedness. Don't do that, he says. But present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. Praise God, we have been brought from death to life by Jesus and by Him alone. He says, don't do it, don't present as wickedness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been. Have you been brought from death to life? Have you been brought from spiritual death to the living Jesus Christ as those who have been brought from death to life? Present yourself to God for that, and present your members to God as instruments of righteousness. Your members, your body, your mind, your words, your actions, where you're going, present it to God as instruments of righteousness. We want to be used by God, don't we? We want Him to bring others into His fold. We have the choice to make. We can read, just as I said, the thief on the cross, that one that accepted Jesus, what an example He is, dying on there. What an example we can be. What an instrument we can be for the Lord. Got an ink pen down here. This is a pencil. Well, if it's all full of muck and filth, I'm going to lay it down there, and I'm not going to write with it. So too of our lives. If we're warred in sin and filth, if we're refusing to follow the Lord, we can't expect to be used by Him. But when we come to Him, He'll clean us up. You can't come to Him and clean yourself up. You can't do it. Jesus' blood is the only thing to do that. When we present ourselves to Him, He'll wipe us down. He'll clean us by the blood of Jesus and resurrection. And then He can use us. But don't run from Him. Don't run from the Father. Run to Him. He says, don't present yourself as an instrument of sin. But present yourself to God as those who have been brought from death to life. And present your members to God as instruments of righteousness. In verse 14, he tells us, for sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under the law, but under grace. Sin doesn't have to have dominion over us. We are set free because of Jesus Christ and His resurrection. We're set free to live for Him. We're set free to live in His love and to love God. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. We can't do that unless we're set free. We can't follow Him unless we're set free. So therefore, we are justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. When we put our faith in Him, just as the thief on the cross, when we put our faith in Him, just as all throughout the Scriptures tell us, then there's a change made in us. Then we're covered. When we put our faith in Him, when we reach to God and say, Lord, save me, then we're welcomed. He says, enter into rest. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. It's like if you're walking up to a house. You're in desperate need. You're walking around in rags and filth, starving to death, about to die, with a deadly disease, about to pass away. You walk up here to this house and knock on the door, trusting that person can help you. They let you in. Same too with God. That's how we are. We got the wages of sin in our life. We're wasting away. We're dying. But when we come to His house, when we come to Him, He welcomes us in, and He redeems us. He cleans us up. He takes care of us. You can trust in Him. And you can turn around and run out of the door and run away from Him, or you can stay with Him. As He processes over time, He'll sanctify us. He'll clean us up. He'll save us. He'll redeem us. And He alone will make us holy if we'll cooperate. Will you cooperate with the Lord? Will you let Him have dominion over your life, or are you going to let something else have dominion? It's a choice we make every day. Verse 18 says, therefore, of the previous chapter, just as one man's trespasses led to condemnation for all, so one man's act of righteousness leads to justification. We're justified before God. We're set free. We're square. And life. And life more abundant, he says. For just as by one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by one man's obedience the many will be, what it says, made righteous. God wants us to be made righteous. He wants us to live as free people. We celebrate the resurrection of Jesus today. And wonderful resurrection it is. Let's live as resurrected people. Let's all bow our heads. I want to ask you. We see here what God did for us on the cross. That we can be risen people. We can be free people. The question remains, are you living in freedom to Him for what He did? He reached out His arms on Calvary on the cross and said, it is finished. Redemption was finished. Justification was finished. When He rose on the third day, we too are risen with him in our spirits. Let's take a moment and pray to God. Are you allowing him to have dominion, or are you allowing sin to have dominion? Are you living for the Lord, or something different? Are you living as a resurrected person? Father, we thank you so much, Lord, that we can be free because of what you've done for us. Lord, we stood guilty. We stood without no hope, no way. All of humanity stood guilty, alienated from you. But when that need was there, you fulfilled it through thy Son, Jesus. He lived a perfect life that we couldn't do. Was innocent, condemned to death, reached out his arms and was crucified on Calvary, Lord, the most excruciating death, buried away on the third day, rose again, Lord. We thank you so much, Father. Help us, Lord, to accept that gift of salvation every day, that gift of redemption. Lord, if there be anybody here this morning that doesn't know that wonderful, sweet peace that comes with putting faith in you, Lord, help them to come to your throne of grace, Lord. God's grace is always open. His throne room is always open. We thank you, Lord, that we can become your children. Help us to live as your children, Lord, that we're no longer alienated, we're no longer far away, but we're have fellowship with him. We're close to you, Father God. Help us to do that, Lord. Help us to truly live as free people. Every day free from the chains of sin, because you've done what it took to set us free. Thank you, Father. Bless each and every one of these wonderful people gathered here together, Lord. We thank you for this resurrection day. Help us always to remember to live as risen people for you. It's through Christ our Lord we pray, and we thank you so much, Father. Amen. Amen. Praise God. If you'll stand with me and open it up to page number 362. 362. Let me get there myself. Amen. 362. Sin, nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me bright as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon, this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing, this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me bright as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not of good that I have done, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me bright as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me bright as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen.